Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Kelly Harris. I'd like to thank you for calling in to Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus Ministries. Let us all pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for tonight. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that the words that come out of your servant's mouth are your words and definitely not my words, because if it's my words, I'm going to mess it up, but as long as it's your words, it'll be understandable and people understand what you want them to know. So we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Tonight, my friends, I want to go into the Old Testament. I want us to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7, and we're going to read verse 12 through 26. Let you all turn your pages and catch up. Okay. Blessings of obedience. As your reward for heeding these obediences and keeping them carefully, the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant mercy he promised an oath to your ancestors. He will love and bless the multitude of you. He will bless the fruits of your womb and the produce of your soil, your grain and wine and oil, the young of your herd and the offspring of your flock, to the land which you swore to your ancestors he would give you. You will be blessed above all people. No man or woman among you shall be childless, nor shall your livestock be barren. The Lord will remove all sickness from you, and he will not afflict you with any of the malignant diseases that you know from Egypt, but will leave them with all those who hate you. Now let's stop here for a moment. During this time, the Lord is only dealing with Israel. He is not dealing with the rest of the world, because he made a covenant with Israel, and this covenant is with only for them. Now, the New Testament covenant has not happened yet. And why am I reading this tonight is because even though these blessings of obedience were promised to Israel, we who have the New Testament covenant and have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, we are now under this covenant that God has given Israel. We ourselves have been grafted in with Israel. So these blessings and what he wants to do for our lives is for you and I who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't believe in these gifts and blessings he can give you, the Lord will not force you to believe it. You're going to have to read it for yourself and have faith and believe. That is how you will get these blessings, because the Lord will never leave you high and dry. He will bless you because he is the Lord your God, and he does bless his children. Let's continue on with our verse. You shall consume all the peoples which the Lord your God is given over to you. You are not to look to them with pity, nor serve their gods, for that would be a snare to you. If you say to yourself, these nations are more numerous than we, how can we dispose them? Do you not be afraid of them? Remember clearly what the Lord your God did to the Pharaoh of Egypt. And you notice this, that God's only reminding him of a Pharaoh. Again, he's only talking to the children of Israel at this time to them. Why would this apply to us? Am I trying to say that God is not, is telling you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, to snub people who don't believe? Well, no. What I'm saying is, this is before the gospel. During the Old Testament time, the Lord was not asking the children of Israel to spread his gospel throughout the world. He was only dealing with Israel. The time would come that he would use Israel through Jesus Christ as his rock to spread his gospel to the world. And my friends, when you're dealing with people who don't believe, yes, it is true. We are called to go out there amongst the sinners and teach them about the love of Jesus Christ. Right? However, we have to remember, it is true Jesus hung out with the sinners like his apostles had done. But remember, the apostles, nor Jesus, who was our Lord, our God himself, did not participate in sinful acts to attract the sinners. They didn't do what they were doing. Rather, they spoke to them, and they told them the truth, and then they believed, and they were sinners no more. They were saved. Remember this, my friends, that you cannot save someone and bring them to Christ if someone is smoking a joint and you're smoking a joint with them. Or if someone's drinking a thing of Jack Daniels and you're trying to tell them about the Lord and you're drinking a big thing of Jack Daniels as well. It's not going to work. It goes back to what Jesus said, before you take the plank out of your brother's eye, remove the one that's in your eye first. So remember that. You don't have to bring people to Christ by joining with the person in their own sin. Now, you don't have to be arrogant and act like they're unworthy of God because they're sinning. No, because the Lord, our God, has given us a great gift by dying upon the cross. So what we're doing is we're telling them there's a chance for them for salvation. They can come to Christ Jesus. Correct? Correct. But in respect, we have to remember, when we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we no longer hang out with the old people that drug us down to sin. Yes, we minister to others about Jesus, but we do not hang around with people who do not want to know Jesus, and we don't do what they do. We could still pray for them, that is true, and hope that they would change their minds and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we think that we have to compromise by doing what they're doing, it's not good. So what it means is you cannot basically do things of the world. You have to do things that are of God. And if you show this obedience in your Christian walk with God, you're going to get the blessings from this scripture right here, as he promised the children of Israel a long time ago, because you are now grafted within the children of Israel. I am not saying that God has given up on Israel. Far from it. God still has a plan for Israel. And there's many Jews out there who believe in Christ, and there's the majority who do not. God is not giving up on his people Israel. Yet, let us not forget, we are not separated from Israel ourselves. We are adopted in through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's continue on with our lesson. The great testing that your own eyes have seen, the signs and wonders, the strong hand and outreached arm with which the Lord your God brought you out, the same also will do to all people whom you are now afraid. And remember, when he's talking about smiting the Egyptians, again, he's talking about how the Lord defeated the Egyptians who were enemies of God because they were enemies of Israel. Now, he reminds them about their slavery in Once Upon a Time. But we can also go back in our own lives, because we have to agree on this, that you and I were never slaves physically in Israel, but one time in our life, we were separated from God, and the slavery we were under was sin itself. And by that sin itself, we were separated from Christ Jesus. So what I'm saying tonight is that through these words, let us remember who we once were when we walked in darkness, that we don't have to do that anymore. We don't have to walk in darkness and go back to the old slavery that held us down, that kept you and I miserable. We're now free. We're free to walk in the light, which is Jesus Christ, because he has freed us from his bond. And that's what we have to remember. We cannot say, well, you just can't help it, but sin, oh no, that is not true. Walk in the light of Jesus Christ. Be more like him. When you see how the Holy Spirit living within you, when you have the Holy Spirit living within you, you are a changed person. You don't do the things that you once did. You're free. You are liberated. You know the truth. You are now a live person before God. Amen? Amen. So, remember that. You are now a live person through Jesus Christ, and you can walk as his child within this world. Let's continue. Moreover, the Lord your God will send hornets among them until those who are left and choose who are hiding from him or from you are destroyed. Therefore, do not be terrified by them, for the Lord your God, who is in your midst, is a great and awesome God, who will remove these nations before you, little by little. You cannot finish with them quickly, lest the wild beast become too enormous for you. The Lord your God will give them over to you and throw them into utter panic until they are destroyed. He will deliver their king into your power and may make their name perish from under the heaven. No one will be able to stand up against you till you have destroyed them. The images of their gods shall destroy by fire. Do not covet the silver or gold on them. Not take it for yourself, but lest you be ensnared by it. For it is an abomination to the Lord your God. You shall not bring any inedible things into your house so to be, like under the ban, loath and abhor and utterly, for under the ban. See right there, again, if we talk about the nation of Israel, we've seen in the past, even when Israel was conquered by nations such as Babylon, and later on the Persian Empire took over Babylon, and they were under the Persian Empire rule, and later on under Alexander the Great's rule, and then later on under one of Alexander the Great's generals' rule, and later on under the Roman Empire rule. Those nations do not exist as a power as they once did. Babylon is gone altogether, and the Persian Empire does not exist at all. Live in that now. It died out, didn't it? Yes, it did. And then, with the Greek Empire, it died out with Alexander the Great, with his generals separating his empire, and eventually, Alexander's empire, with his generals, they would soon die off because of the Roman Empire, who would later conquer them. And the Roman Empire would cease to become an empire in itself. Eventually, they would collapse and fall. So the Lord, if we read the scripture, has told the truth. We even know when we look through history, such as World War II, what happened to the Jewish people under Adolf Hitler when he tried to eliminate them in Germany and also in occupied territories that he held in Eastern Europe. Well, after World War II, the Nazis who hunted Jews, they themselves became the hunted, and they feared being caught by authorities and having to go to trial for war crimes. And when you look at these nations that Hitler conquered in the East, you had some of them that contributed to the catching of Jews on purpose. And after World War II, parts of Germany and those Eastern nations that contributed to capturing Jews, these people were under barbed wire themselves, you might say, and lost their freedom, the same as the Jews were forced to. So the Lord had a way of punishing. And yes, the Lord even did eventually punish the Soviet Union when he caused them to collapse back in the 1990s. So the Soviet Union, Nazi Germany, all fell. Because remember, Joseph Stalin persecuted the Jews himself and killed as much Jews or even more than Adolf Hitler did. And now they are gone. So the Lord does keep his promise. And they did vanquish these nations because they stepped on the foot of Israel. It doesn't matter if the majority of Israel does not follow the Lord Jesus Christ right now. One day they all will, or most of them should, because some of them may choose the Antichrist and follow him. But we know when the witnesses come, as it's told in the book of Revelation, these witnesses will be talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and will show signs and wonders that Israel has never seen since God gave them the great prophets like Moses and Elijah. And when they see these men rise from the grave, I guarantee it, they're going to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. But as I was saying before, my friends, why is it important for us to even read this chapter in the first place? Because you and I have the same blessings that the Lord has given us. That even when our enemies try to persecute us, in a way, the Lord is with us, and he will prevent our enemies from having victory over us if we remain obedient to him and not lose faith. Now, this could be that our enemy becomes a brother or sister in Christ. Think about what the Apostle Paul was. The Apostle Paul, before he was an apostle, was an enemy of Jesus Christ. He killed and arrested many of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Did he not now? But yet, how is revenge so sweet that the Lord gave to Paul? He brought Paul to him by meeting him on the road to Damascus. And Paul became a believer in Jesus Christ. And as zealot as he was about getting fellow brothers and Christians and arresting them and hoping to put them to death, he became a zealot to find men's souls and convert them to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see what he happened to him? He went from one zealotry to the right zealotry by following Jesus Christ. And that's what we should be doing. Our freedom, as I was saying before, is not that we were held up in Egypt physically. Our freedom was being freed from the chains of sin when Jesus Christ died upon it, but yet we could still celebrate what the Lord did for Israel when he helped them get free from Egypt, because, as I was saying before, when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we ourselves are now grafted. We become a part of the children of Israel. What happened to our brothers and sisters in Israel, that God's freedom happened to us as well. It's like when we see a brother or sister in Christ being persecuted, we are being persecuted as well. Many Christians outside the United States have felt this persecution. Many of them death. But when they face these problems, we face it with them because what happens to them happens with us. Correct? We have to focus, my friends, and stop thinking of our national point of view when it comes to our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. For when we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no nationality. There is no American or Canadian. There is no British. There is no Filipino. or Cuban or South African or Saudi Arabian. It's just us who are part of the body of Jesus Christ. We are the family of God. Whatever language we speak in different nations, we are still a family of God, and we should pray for one another and love one another and respect one another. And that's what we should be doing, my friend, because we are the body of Christ. We are not a body of or respected nations. I'm not talking about being patriotic against your country. I'm sure you love your country that you live in. However, remember this. Who comes over your country? Who is the Lord of all nations? Who is the Lord of your leaders? And that would be King Jesus, who is the Lord our God. He is the King. He is the Lord. He is the one we look to first. And if we're going to be patriotic about anything, let's be patriotic about our Lord Jesus Christ, because he paid a high price for you and I to know who he is. He could have ignored us. He could have just left his death and resurrection and the cleansing of the Spirit only for Israel, because he had that covenant, and he had every right to do that. However, though, in the Old Testament, he promised that his Spirit will go on to all flesh of the world, which meant that he would welcome the Gentile believers who would follow him. And he did so. That is how merciful our Lord God is. He loved us so much, he wanted you and I to be part of this covenant he had with Israel, so we would become part of Israel. So be blessed, thinking when you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ that all of a sudden you're kicked out, you're kicked on, beat upon, abused, and you say, oh Lord, I just can't wait to my glory time because, oh, this world has beaten me up so badly. Only when I get to heaven, I know things will be different. I have news for you. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior now, the kingdom of heaven is already upon you. So you don't have to go out like a beaten creature. Do not let the enemy, who is Satan, make you feel that all of a sudden you are now weak. You are now a slave to him, He can do anything he wants to you, but you may be free from him one day when you get to heaven yourself, spiritually. But it's not like that at all, because right now, the blessings are upon you. And if God could bless these great blessings upon his people, Israel, before the new covenant, think of the blessings he's pouring on you now. Why did he make him strong in the Old Testament and us weak now? We're not weak, we're strong. We're strong people. Go out there and be a king. Be a king for Christ. Go out there and show your crown to the world. And be bold in your belief of Jesus Christ being our Lord and Savior. Do not act like you are someone who is a defeated person. You don't have to do that, my friends. Not at all. Because you are not a defeated person. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has already won this battle for you. That you won this battle. That he won this battle 2,000 years ago. So you and I can be free from the sin. And this means, since we are free from a sin, you and I are now have the same blessing like the children of Israel. So we could be bold in our belief. We could be hold our heads up high in our belief. We don't have to feel that we are beaten up by the world. Heck, just rebuke what the world's throwing at you in the name of Jesus, and be free in the name of Jesus, and walk boldly and humbly with our Lord, our God, who is our Father. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. Don't whine and say, well, Lord, when I get to heaven one day, all this will be gone. Let's make it be gone right now in the name of Jesus. Any problem you may be having in your life that's causing you stress, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ, that you'll be free from this torment forever, and you'll walk forever with the Lord Jesus Christ, walking within your life, and feel his glory within you. That's what we have to say, and I say this in the name of Jesus. Amen, my friend, amen. And you know what, my friends? Be bold and be brave. Remember, when we have Christ in us, heaven is with us now. Heaven will be us in the afterlife. That is true. But we can have heaven right now as we walk upon the earth. Did you know that? That's what Jesus meant when he said, the kingdom of heaven is upon you, when he was upon the earth. Because it was true. When he walked upon the earth, the kingdom of heaven was there. But it did not go away when he went over in heaven to sit at his right side, because he sent his spirit out there then, his Holy Spirit. And with his Holy Spirit now living within you, the kingdom of heaven is right now in you. It is right now where you are sitting. It is with you always wherever you go to work, when you go any place. The kingdom of heaven follows you, and when you go to your church that teaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, you feel the blessings of the Holy Spirit within the church, within you, because together with your brother and sister having the Holy Spirit as well, that's why you feel such a glorious reception within the church, and you feel God moving the church and worship, and you feel the music moving you, and you feel the preaching moving you, and you feel the people itself moving you, when you feel yourself all worshiping together as one body, and that's what we are, one body. And right there, the kingdom of heaven is right there, glorifying God on earth as it is right now, glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven in the spiritual world. We are right now glorifying God here upon the earth. And one day, my friend, when Jesus makes his kingdom upon the earth, guess what? Every tongue and knee will bow to him and will glorify him upon the earth. But guess what? As well as they glorify him upon the earth physically, when he's physically upon the earth, they'll be glorifying him in the spiritual world that is in heaven as well. Because our Lord God is big enough for everyone that he creates around the heavens worships him, because he did it all. And every knee says, Abba, Father, Jesus is Lord, Yeshua, Amen, they say. Hallelujah, amen. Woo! Well, my friend, right? I'm glad you all who called in tonight called in. And for those of you, my friend, who will download this program and listen to it later, I thank you all for listening. And my friends, just remember, the kingdom of heaven is upon you. Walk in obedience with our Lord, our God, because when you do, you'll feel his blessings shine upon you. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless you all. In the name of Jesus, amen. Good night, my friends, until we meet again next time. And by the way, for all but my friends in the United States, happy Thanksgiving. It's a great day. Let's remember what Thanksgiving was all about. It was thanking the Lord, right? So let's thank the Lord for the bounty, for the first Thanksgiving, and also for the Thanksgiving we will have with our loved ones and family. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless you all, and I say this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.